Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, and help me stand. Thomas Dorsey wrote those words in a time of trial, in a time of troubles. And we all have or will have for sure, it's a certainty, we will face hardships in life. It's when the walls of the world around us begin to close in on us and there's no escape. And these walls of trials and persecutions, these walls of pain and of anxieties, these walls that encompass us of helplessness, powerful walls. And sometimes when these walls come and these anxieties approach us, we feel as though we are without ability. We can be helpless in these times, unable to save ourselves from the troubles. And nowhere that we go will be able to help us. No physical place in this world. We can go into a dark closet and into a strong building or into a basement, into a shelter in the ground, but our troubles and our trials, they come right along with us. You turn to the west, you turn to the east, you turn to the north, you turn to the south, and the troubles are there. They encompass us. And the only way out of our trials, the only way to find sanctity and safety, the only safe haven is to humble ourselves in the sight of God, to raise up our hands and to drop our knees, and to say, O thou great Jehovah, come to me, help me out of this miry, slippery sand of my life. We must turn to the only source of our refuge in times like these. And we must ask the Father in heaven to use His everlasting arms, His great amazing love and His power to bring us up, to rely upon Him and His glory. Because we cannot help ourselves. We have been studying a series called Closer to Thee. And in this, we have been seeking and laboring to learn of our God, to understand who He is and to understand who He is not. This is so important for us. Our God is truly an awesome God. You know, out of love, we can look back and see what the Father has done over the centuries since the very creation of the world. And we can look at these things and we must seek them out in order to understand Him more truly and more clearly. Our God is not a single dimensional God. He is not only a God of love. As we've been studying our God recently, looking at the characteristics of our God, we realize that our God is not a dead God, but He is a living God. And when we think of our God, we realized in the beginning that He was not a man. He is not like us. He is not one who should lie. He is not one who should repent. Numbers 23 and 19. Our God cannot die, for our God is eternal. He had no beginning and He has no end. Our God, even though He is a God of love, is a consuming fire. And He also is a God full of mercy. And now, today, as we continue trying to draw closer to our God through an understanding of Him, we look at another point in His character. He is a refuge to all who trust in Him. In that text that we read this morning, Moses spurs us on to this very, very fact. God is and always will be, if we allow it, a great source of protection. Yes, He is our refuge. Think with me for a moment what that word means. Merriam-Webster says that it's a shelter or a protection from danger or distress. The Online Dictionary says it's a condition of being safe or a shelter from pursuit, danger, or troubles. I ask you, what comes to your mind when you hear the word refuge? You know, the kind of refuge that you need really depends on the situation that you're in. And God is so multiplex in His abilities that He can reach out to you no matter what your condition is, no matter what your situation is. There is no temptation that isn't common to man. And God is always able to show us a way out. He is our refuge. What do you think of when you think of that word refuge? You know, in a rainstorm, the kind of refuge that you need would depend on that situation. In the rainstorm, maybe you just needed protection from the rain. And that's something that we have. Well, what about if it wasn't just a rainstorm? What if it was something that needed more than just a canopy? For example, a tornado. You need a more sturdy form of refuge there. Your safe haven has to be much stronger, much more able to help you in that time of trial. And a basement, a structure, something that is strong enough to withstand the forces of that tornado. And what if it's not something like that? What if you're at war? And you build these strongholds and barracks around you. And you set up these walls of concrete so that the enemy can't reach you. Or maybe you have to travel in war and you need one of these. You see, in the case of a refuge, it depends upon your need. But what is wonderful about our God, what is magnificent about our God, what makes God so great is that He can reach us and He can help us and give us refuge no matter what the circumstance is. You can't hide in that armored vehicle. You can't hide from God in the storm shelter, because God is everywhere. But when you need help, He's always there to help. And so whatever picture comes to mind when you think of the word refuge or safe haven from troublesome times, these are times that we all must face. But the real problems come when we deal with spiritual troubles. The Scriptures tell us that every word of God is true, it's pure. And He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. You see, when we think of a refuge in our spiritual lives and the emotions and the upheavals of turmoil and trouble, our refuge is God. When we turn to Him, when we go to Him, that's where we'll find the solace that we need in times of trouble. He is always there. And we think of all the sins that can enter into our lives. The lust, the fornication, the adultery, the drugs, the alcohol, the pride, a lying tongue, murder, wickedness of the heart, practicing evil, false witnesses and showing discord among the brethren. These are things that God hates. And yet they so easily ensnare us. And if it's not those spiritual kind of things, and maybe it's a physical problem that we have, the sickness or the age of our bodies or death that's coming upon us or has come upon us, the hatred, the love of the world and warring all around us. And these things can trouble us. But we need to understand that these natural troubles that go on around us, they're a part of life. They are a result of sin. But they can grab anyone and engraft their troubles into your life, allowing God to be our refuge. Means that we trust Him to be our protector. We trust Him to be our shield against such things. Listen again to how Moses describes this in the book of Deuteronomy that was read in your hearing this morning. Listen again how Moses describes God's refuge. Hear all the blessings that are found in this text that afford us such great safety and consolation. Listen for the place of safety. Listen how we are made conquerors by our God of refuge. Listen to how He provides for us, how He is our Savior. Listen to how He is our shield and our defender. And as we read, listen to how He gives power to us over our enemies, over the sin, over the sorrows, over the anxieties. He empowers us through His might to find refuge in Him. Listen as we read. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy before you and will say, destroy. And then Israel shall dwell in safety. The fountain of Jacob alone in the land of grain and new wine. His heaven shall also drop dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord? The shield of your help, the sword of your majesty, your enemies shall submit to you. And you shall tread down their high places. Think of this, what we just read. A place of safety underneath the everlasting arms. A conqueror. He will thrust out the enemy. A provider. His heaven shall also drop dew, providing food. A Savior. A people saved by the Lord. A shield and a defender, shield of your help and the sword of your majesty. And He gives power over our enemies. He says, your enemy shall submit to you. Think of these things, how what God has provided His people who follow and who trust in Him. He is a refuge. He is a refuge. When you have troubles in life, and there's no way to turn, and you feel as though you're in quicksand, and you're helpless, and you call out to the great Jehovah God, help me. And we turn to Him in faith through His Word, and His everlasting arms will uphold us, and He will put the threats away from us. And we will be a people saved by the Lord. Our refuge. Our God. How is God our refuge? Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. looking at verses 1 through 4. We read the words, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.'" David had real enemies. The waves of death surrounded David. And when he cried out to the Lord, "My God," and the Lord heard his voice, and the cry of David entered into the ears of the Lord, and the earth shook and trembled. Imagine the power of God upon hearing David's plea. "O thou great Jehovah," and the earth trembled. The fountains of heaven quaked. The foundations of heaven quaked. Happy are we when we know how powerful our God is. And David knew God. In verse 21 of this same chapter, David writes that the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the way of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. With mercy, David says, "You will show yourself merciful," in verse 26. "With the pure, you will show yourself pure," verse 27. Verse 28, "You will save the humble people." Verse 29, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." My God, I can leap over a wall. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. We need to trust God and His everlasting arms to have the power to help us. He is our refuge. You know, when we think about David, he's not a stranger to trials and troubles and hardships. If you remember David and Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see from the Scriptures how God has always been a refuge to those who trust in Him and who put our trust in Him. And allow Him, when we do that, He will be our refuge. We think about this, and David and Goliath. And you know, the Philistines, in the opening of this chapter, the Philistines are coming with their armies together for battle, and they have Goliath. He's their champion. And Goliath, you know, he's a great giant of a man. The Scriptures describe him as being 6 cubits and a span in height. And then depending on what you're looking at and what where you're getting information, that's anywhere from 9.9 inches to 10.6 inches. In either case, he was a big man, and he wore heavy armor. That armor that he wore, his staff alone was 37 pounds. And that's who Goliath was. Now think about David, the youngest son of Jesse, less than 20 years old, and he was just a small lad. And David, he was a sheep herder. He tended sheep in Bethlehem. But David, he comes to Saul when all this comes to his hearing and he says, let no man's heart fail because of him, that giant Goliath. Your servant will go and will fight this Philistine. But here's David, this little guy. And of course, Saul says that you're not able to fight against this Philistine. Not at all. You're just a youth, and he is a man of war. David said to Saul, you know what? Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. And he says, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like them. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And you know what? Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I want you to note something about Saul, too. In 1 Samuel, in chapter 9 and verse 2, the Scriptures describe Saul. They say from his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of all the people. When you think about that, Saul was a pretty big guy. He was king. And you kind of wonder, why didn't Saul go out there and fight Goliath? But you see, David had the Lord on his side. When Goliath saw David, he had disdain, the Scriptures tells us. He called David a youth, ruddy and good-looking. He's just this really reddish, pale-looking young man. And Goliath says, you come to me with a sword and with a spear. Or David said to Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. David trusted his God and found solace and safety in his God. And he said to Goliath, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. I will strike you and I will take your head from you. And when the time came and Goliath came and David was there, David ran towards Goliath. He reached in his pouch and grabbed one of five stones. And he slung that stone at Goliath and it sunk into his head and Goliath fell down dead. Not by the hand of David, but by the power of God. David said, the Lord God, he placed that stone in his mighty hands. David didn't find solace in the protection of a sword and an armor. He had those things were given to him by Saul, but he had to take them off. They were too burdensome, too heavy. And he left the sword and all the armor off, and he left it. And he went out in his sandals, in his light dress, and he took that little stone and overcame and overpowered that giant Goliath. No javelin, no spear. But his refuge was clearly in the Lord, who is our refuge. You know, ironically, when you think about this event, King Saul should have been so overwhelmed with David. He should have embraced him for life. For killing Goliath. And yet, think about what happened. When we read on and we study the account between David and Saul, we find out that Saul becomes one of David's enemies. Saul becomes jealous of David because of David's relationship with his son Jonathan and because of the way in which the people speak of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, the very first thing we see where that comes between David and Saul is that Jonathan and David's love for one another. When we saw Jonathan and David were knit together. And they made a covenant. because of that great love that they had.
Because
Jonathan loved him as his own soul, the Scripture tells us.
And Jonathan gave
David his robe and his armor
and his bow
and his belt. And Saul was angry. The second reason was the image of David amongst the people. In verses 5 through 12, we read about how David had come back victorious over the Philistines. And he returned from this slaughter, and the women were singing and dancing as they came to meet King Saul. And what they sang angered Saul and hardened his heart towards David. As the women sang and danced, they said, "Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000. They made David an image above Saul as a warrior. And that angered Saul. He was very angry and he was worried because the only thing left for David at this point was to take the kingdom itself. He had already taken the reputation. And in verses 11 and 12, Saul casts a spear at David, trying to pin him to a wall. And David escapes the presence of Saul. Twice this happens.
Saul tries to get David a wife.
Eventually, he ends up marrying one of Saul's daughters, Michal. And when he does that, Saul had ulterior motives. He wanted to use that marriage to destroy David. And eventually, he's more afraid of David than anybody. In all his troubles, he decides to have David destroyed in battle with the Philistines. But you know what? David behaved wisely in every circumstance. And what David did was he trusted the Lord to go before him. The Lord was his refuge. Many times, David was sought after by Saul. But David always placed his life into the mighty hands of the Lord. Again, David didn't find protection from a javelin or from a sword or from a shield. His refuge was clearly in the Lord his God. And we learn from David that whether it's a physical or whether the issues are spiritual, there isn't one situation that can occur in life. Nothing that we'll ever face. No trial that's outside of the hand of God. His everlasting arms. He is truly our refuge. So all the more reason that we need to be earnest in our search to be right with God. You know, David's son Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 18, in verse 10, he wrote, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it and are safe." And so many times that David fled from his enemies, people who wanted to kill him, and he found refuge in God. And David himself, who wrote, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us. Shalom. Pour out your heart to God means that you're in communication with the Father. Through prayer, through supplication, and through daily devotions in His Word. And that's what David did all the time. And that's what we can do also, all the time. Pour out your heart to God. Ask the great Jehovah to intervene on our behalf. He is the refuge. He is the Lord. God, our refuge.
You know, we
walk according to God's will, and we can face even more and more dangerous situations with great confidence. Why? Because we know
that God is our safe house. Countless times, God saved the Israelites
who went off into battle. He went before them and destroyed their enemy.
And they came
out victorious. Just read Joshua chapter 6 and 7 tonight. And you'll get great examples of how this took place. Jesus Himself, He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in Me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He's our refuge. Our safe haven, no matter what our circumstance, no matter where we're at, if we are always in God, we will always be in the center of God's will, and His hands will always uphold us. The Scriptures say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, for he is upheld by the hands of God. Trust Him, no matter what. He promised to be our refuge. Listen to the words. "Let your conduct be without covetous. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." That is a promise from God to be our refuge, to be with us in the times of trouble, to never leave us nor forsake us, to be upheld by His mighty, everlasting, and powerful arms. No man is greater than God. In Deuteronomy 7:21, "You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you." Life is filled with ups and downs, isn't it? One day you feel like you're on top of the world, and another day you feel like the world's on top of you. So it is in life. But you can take the ups and downs and you can level those out just by simply trusting in the Lord, by turning to His Word, daily meditation, learning of Him, bringing Him into your soul, and allowing Him to be your refuge, your safe haven. And then all the ups and downs become just kind of like bumps in the road. You don't need to fear any man. Ups and downs can take a heavy burden on our lives, a devastating toll, if we don't allow the Lord God to be a part of it. You know, the hard down times you think can be spiritually fatal if we disallow God to be a part of our lives. But don't be deceived. The up times can be just as spiritually fatal if you don't allow God to be part of those. Because then you start thinking, "I don't need God. I don't need to study today. I don't need to meditate on His Word today. I don't need to draw closer to Thee, because I have all that I need. I don't need to worship. I don't need to assemble. I don't need to practice the Lord's Supper. I have all that I need today." Be careful and understand God is our refuge. He is our strength and a very present help in a time of trouble. He wants to be a place for us to go. That's why David penned these words.
You know, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as a contrite spirit. The Hebrew writer says, thus God, determining to know more abundantly to the heirs of promise and the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, in which He is, it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become our high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. God determined long ago to be our help, our stronghold, our consolation. If we just flee to Him and find refuge in Him and lay hold of the hope that is set before us, heaven, eternal life through Jesus, then God can be our refuge. And those ups and downs become just little bumps in life. On this day, it is imperative that we make God to be a place of our shelter. It's vital that God becomes our sanctuary. We must know a successful spiritual life cannot be lived without God being the base of it. So we don't want to try to exempt Him. We don't want to try to do it without Him. Let Him in. Let God be your refuge. And if we do that, I hope all of us will one day be able to say these simple words. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I hope this lesson has helped you to draw closer to God this day. Understanding His great love for you, knowing of His immense desire that you be saved and be a part of His kingdom upon this earth and one day be delivered up to Him in the presence of His glory. There is no greater hope that anyone can have. And the wonderful thing is that that hope helps us along in this life and also in the next life to come. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Jesus told us that we must hear the word of God, that we must believe that word, and that we act upon what He has taught us, that we must repent of our sins, that we must confess Jesus as the Son of the living God, that on that confession we would be baptized into the waters of our death, to be risen up from that death to walk a new life, to be risen as Christ was raised from the grave by the power and the glory of God, to become a new creation in Christ, to find refuge in the mighty God, Jehovah, and to have peace and love and joy as a fruit of the Spirit, a gift to us, and a knowledge that one day we will be with Him forever. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? And you've fallen back into sin. You have not allowed God to be that source. Then your only recourse is to confess that sin, to make that right with God, and allow God to reestablish that relationship that you once had. If you have a need this day, whatever that need may be, I invite you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.